Ellen and her family as they're listening to us. So they're here with us this morning, along with you know, Mom, and she's viewing us this morning, and folks from Fairbanks, and it's just neat, that connectivity. Speaking of connectivity, when I came here some 4 years ago, I was overjoyed to see that there was a ministry that I was involved in, that our church was involved in Fairbanks. It's called Find Out Now, and a pregnancy crisis center, if you will, for moms who are need to know that there's life within them, and to provide them with information, with knowledge. And so I was overjoyed to find out that there's a place here in the Mattu Valley called HeartReach. And to know that, and wanting to be involved in that any way we can, to be involved in a ministry that actually saves lives. They actually save lives. And there's something about when a young woman hears that heartbeat for the first time and says, I don't want to steal too much of Tara's thunder here, but it's great to have a ministry like that, and it's great that we are a part of that ministry, regardless of the capacity, we are involved. And this morning we have a representative from HeartReach and a sister. Her name is Tara Vannerman. And she is the community liaison, outreach liaison. And so I just love her heart, okay? So I just love her heart. And I said, you know, I'd just like to have you come share with us one morning. She goes, but I'm not the preaching person, all right?
Right.
I'm not that person, all right? I help disseminate information so people have more knowledge about what's going on with this ministry. And I said, well, that's fine. But if you can, just share your heart. That's all we want, just to hear your heart. And so, family, would you just welcome to the stage, platform, table, desk, Ms. Tara, as she shares with us from HeartReach.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Yeah, thank you for having me. As Pastor Stepp said, I just view this as family. We're all family. We all have a shared mission, and we're in this together. And so it's my privilege to share a little bit more about how you guys are involved at HeartReach Center. Because even though you may not be in the center day in and day out, this church is an integral part of what HeartReach Center does. And every one of you plays a role in that. And we see you as an extension of HeartReach, and HeartReach is an extension of this congregation in this body. So I have a presentation, just because that'll keep me on track. You will find, and my husband can attest, that I can go off on rabbit trails and I can talk and I can talk. I may not preach, but I can talk. So the presentation will keep me on track, but I'm also a visual learner. Anyone else a visual person? Yeah, like a picture paints a thousand words is so very true for me. And so that's another reason why we have the presentation. All right, so I'm just going to cue you every time I want another slide. So this is actually a map, and I know it may be kind of hard to distinguish being, you know, so far back, but in essence, as Pastor Stepp alluded to, HeartReach Center, where we are the Valley's only faith-based pregnancy and family resource center, we are part of a much larger network. So there are 12 family and pregnancy resource centers in Alaska. But you mentioned Guatemala. We are Ecuador. Oh, I apologize to those of you in Ecuador. I don't know if that's offensive. I actually have a family from Costa Rica. And if you say any other Latin American country when referencing where they're from, it's extremely offensive. So, but along with the 12 pregnancy centers in Alaska, we are also part of a nationwide network and a global network of thousands of pregnancy centers. So I hope that's encouraging to you guys. It's encouraging to me. And in fact, you may pick up on my accent. I'm from Georgia. Anybody pick up on my accent just a little? What? I heard a yell over there really fast. Yeah, so most people usually think Texas, but it's actually Georgia. And in Georgia, I was part of a pregnancy and family resource center there as well, and actually did the very same thing of sharing. And so that network will come up again later as I share my story. So you're not just part of HeartReach. You are part of something much larger than HeartReach, just like we all are in the body of Christ. So next slide. So the HeartReach backstory. We started in 1985. And I asked if we had time for a video because we really do have a great video. The video goes more than just into HeartReach's backstory, though. It kind of gives you an overview of some of the different programs and different ways you can get involved, which I am going to share more about after the video. But I just, again, being a visual person, thought a video would be really awesome.
Valley Crisis Pregnancy Center probably began in a moment of time in our community history when there were a lot of crisis pregnancies amongst high school students. I looked for a community project that helped pregnant women. There was nothing going. And I thought, oh no, God, you're asking me to do this.
I think that if I didn't have someone to talk to, if I didn't have someone to hold my hand through the entire thing, I don't know where I'd be. Having someone feel like I felt like someone was proud of me and walking me through that rather than pushing me back.
Being raised in different families, in different cultures as well, we handle parenting differently, but that's where the HeartReach Center is really helping us, leading us, you know, in the Christ-centered parenthood.
It's important for guys to come to the fathering program that we hear at HeartReach because they ask questions and they come in sometimes with a blank slate. They don't know how to be good fathers and good dads to their kids.
If I hadn't been coming to HeartReach, I think I would still be going down the same path of being, I guess it would be a dominating parent. You know, telling my kids, you know, what to do and what they will do.
Being able to be with these women that have gone through the same thing that I have, and having this, just being able to share the process. If I would have had a place like HeartReach and I could have had someone to reach out to, I would have three more children with me. And they would be grown up and I would see them getting married and having grandchildren. Period.
A lot of people look at it as a mistake and it's one of God's greatest blessings, and that's what this ministry really taught me.
Well, when we first began, it was just a seed, you know, a seed thought. And when we put the ad in the paper and people showed up, it was the beginning of the growth. And we just started seeing this idea begin to grow. And here it is like 30 years later. And it's just incredible. It's like the scripture says you go from 30-fold to 60-fold to 100-fold if you have good soil. And this has definitely been good soil.
This ministry makes a huge impact on a lot of people's lives.
Because HeartReach is here and supported by faithful supporters in the community, You know, the staff here and the volunteers are able to pour their lives into the clients that come for help and need.
You will have no idea how many more families can be reached if the Heart Reach can expand and grow. So then they can reach more and more families. And the more healthy families, the more healthy our community will be there.
I think that this ministry changed everything for me.
People who want to give to this ministry will be rewarded. You are sowing your material goods into an eternal purpose.
So that was back in 1985 when that couple first put the advertisement in the paper. And I am told that it was after a baby was abandoned at the Colony Motel. And so that started something that, like you said, began as really a way to intervene in crisis pregnancies for teenage moms. But where we are today is so much more than that. And that's what I'll be sharing more about today. Let me just say, if anyone has a question or if anything I share seems unclear, you know, please just raise your hand, shout it out, ask me. I can repeat the question so that those of you watching online are also able to be part of the conversation. But I want to try to explain to you who we are and what we do now, because it's so much more. So everything that HeartReach is part of a three-pronged approach. So the three-pronged approach helps us to kind of keep some cohesion and focus as we expand. And we do have quite a few initiatives even this year. So let me trigger the next slide. The first, of course, is prevention. We do intervention work at the center. We'll get into that. But if we are not out in the community, if we are not having conversations to help people not become in a crisis situation, then we kind of feel like, you know, we're intervening with people, but we're not building bridges maybe at the top of the cliffs before people jump off. So that's the prevention arm. We do have a few different things we do. There we go. So the first is Stewards of Children, and this is actually in partnership with Rock Matsu. So when you are in partnership with HeartReach, we also have a network of other nonprofits we work with. And Rock Matsu, Raising Our Kids with Kindness, is a huge organization in the Valley that's funded by the Matsu Health Foundation. And in collaboration with that organization, we're able to do child abuse prevention training, specifically child sexual abuse prevention training at HeartReach. And this is also something that we go out and have offered at local churches, specifically to children's ministries. So that's one arm of prevention, because I'm sure that you guys can connect the dots. When we have abuse going on in childhood, we create cycles that then lead to poverty, unplanned pregnancies, drug abuse, and so much more. All right, next area of prevention is reaching teens. So at HeartReach, we have a program called Step Up Now to Healthy Relationships. Fairbanks is very active in this program because I was actually trained by the Fairbanks director, Sarah. And so this is all about healthy relationships. It's not just, okay, make sure you wait until you're married. It is, you have value. Your life has value. You have the opportunity to create for yourself goals and dreams and to achieve those. And then we do talk about sexually transmitted infections and diseases, and we talk about what healthy relationships can be. And so this is a program that we've done in youth groups, but it's also one that I've really taken into the local schools. We're going to be at Palmer Junior Middle School, unfortunately, via Zoom this next week. But at least we're still there, right, having these discussions with teens before they come into HeartReach. All right, so STI testing and treatment is kind of another arm that we're linking it into prevention. The reason we're linking it into prevention, and it's actually we're getting ready to start in 6 weeks. So it says 2020, that was our goal, but we kind of, you know, had a rough 2020. How about you guys? This is kind of an unprecedented year, right? So the reason that we look at the STI testing and treatment as a prevention mechanism, and the reason we're trying to incorporate that into what you guys think, you know, Pregnancy and Family Resource Center, is because it's a link to our negative pregnancy test clients, and it's also a way, again, to engage the middle, like even in middle schoolers, when we go and present, you know, sexually transmitted infections and diseases, now we're saying, and come to HeartReach, and then we can help you get your answers, and then hopefully we can have a conversation. And it's all about love. It's about loving people where they are. And when we can love someone where they are in a tough situation, you know, am I facing a STI or a situation that I could possibly have to walk through for the rest of my life, and we can be there with them and offer compassion, then we're creating a relationship, and hopefully we're creating cycles of new healthy behavior that keep them out of an unplanned pregnancy. So next slide, please. An intervention. So this is typically what people think of when they think of HeartReach. You would think crisis pregnancy center, and we still are absolutely engaged in crises on a weekly basis. Our intervention ministry is active and robust. Keep going. All right, so here's two pictures of HeartReach. And that's as you enter. Okay, so medical wing, interventions. We actually have a medical wing and then a parenting wing. So most of our intervention services are in that medical wing of HeartReach. And those are a few pictures. I don't know how clearly you can see, but of our pregnancy test room and our ultrasound room. So we offer free and confidential pregnancy testing for anyone. It doesn't have to be someone in crisis. So if you ever know anyone who just needs answers, send them to HeartReach. We will love them. We will help them get answers. So in the pregnancy test room, though, let me tell you this because I get this question a lot. Any client we work with there who is not happily married and wasn't planning this pregnancy, we consider as abortion vulnerable. And so we take the opportunity, and I do this a lot, just to have a relaxed conversation. So that conversation would go something like, you know, Sally, you and I both know as women, you know, if you test positive today, you've got three options, right? We all know parenting, okay? But there's also adoption and there's abortion. And at HeartReach Center, we want to make this a safe place for you to talk about all three of those options. So tell me, what do you think about those options of this pregnancy? And so we just start the conversation like that. And we always introduce adoption. And typically, I get the response, I could never place my baby up for adoption. Which, of course, you can look at objectively, right? And you can say, oh, yeah, but you're talking about terminating the life of your child, but you can never put your child up for adoption. But what you've got to understand is, and we've all dealt with it, when we're in a crisis situation, we're not necessarily thinking clearly, right? And so a response to that is, Sally, I understand. I could never just put my baby up for adoption either. I said, but I'd really like to take an opportunity to talk to you a little bit more, because even though adoption may seem that way initially, adoption is an option that gives you lots and lots of choices. You know, there's open adoption, there's semi-open, there's closed. It's an option that you can continue to consider. It's not even something that you have to decide on today. And so we at least start a conversation with that. And then if a client is absolutely abortion-minded, and I have talked to so many in that situation, then what we try to encourage them to do is just to take a minute. Like, you know what? You are in shock right now, really. You know, this is a huge decision. You weren't expecting this. When people are in crisis situations, it feels like everything's closing in on. That's normal. What you're experiencing is normal. Wanting to get rid of a problem as you see a problem is normal. That's okay. But let's talk about what that would really look like in your life. And let's get you some answers, too. And so that's what we do. And we have plenty of information to share. And then the ultrasound is, of course, part of that. Because that's a way to get answers. I can't tell you, because I've been in the pregnancy ministry for over 20 years. I've had more than one, but one, I'll just tell you, I remember specifically one. And this was back in Georgia. And she was absolutely determined she was going to have an abortion. There was no way to change her mind at all. But we said, you know what, let's at least make sure you have a viable pregnancy. You don't want to spend the time and money on an abortion unless you're sure you're pregnant, right? So under those pretenses, which were honest, but also wanting her to see the life within her, she came in for an ultrasound. And it was the most profound change I've ever seen. It was almost like a curtain just fell, because there was no life there. She had a pregnancy that was not viable. She was having a miscarriage. And she was absolutely determined she was going to abort. But when she got in that room and saw where life was but was no longer, her heart broke. And she just shattered and she cried. And then I can't tell you how many times we had a client a couple months ago. Actually, the mom was going to take her daughter for an abortion at Planned Parenthood. And a coworker of the mom said, hey, look, before you go, just at least take her through HeartReach. Just take her through HeartReach, make sure she's actually pregnant, make sure everything is okay, So they come in, so it's grandma or of the baby, and it's mom of the baby, you know, so it's mom and daughter and the boyfriend. And they came in, she tested positive, we took them into the ultrasound room, let's just make sure you've got a viable pregnancy. And sure enough, 10 weeks. And at 10 weeks, let me tell you guys, at 10 weeks, you've got little arms, you've got little legs, you've got a beating heart at 5 weeks. 10 weeks, nothing else happens. The baby just gets larger. And so baby's like waving little arms and legs, strong heartbeat, and grandma just shattered. The same thing. It was like the curtain dropped. And she saw that life. She's like, this is my grandchild. You know, but when we're in crisis situations, we don't necessarily think. And so that is what you're part of at HeartReach. There literally are people on this earth today who are here because of ministries like HeartReach Center. And that's what you're part of. And that's profound. And that's a little bit of our story, too, which I'll share with you a little bit later. So intervention is absolutely part, and it's always going to be part. Cue up the next slide. So in addition to intervention, which is pregnancy tested in the ultrasounds, we also offer ongoing support. And I think this is really one of the most critical things that HeartReach provides. You know, it's easy to want to just jump in there and be like, all right, choose life. But then what does the mom and what does the dad do after? And then what about people who've already chosen life and they don't know, like as Doug said in the video, how to even be a dad or how to even be a mom? We have so many, cycles of dysfunction, and it's not just here in Alaska, it's everywhere, but specifically here in Alaska. One of the things we do in our ongoing support area, I'm going to be talking about our Embracing Parenthood program, is we do an initial, it's like an assessment. Have you guys ever heard of ACEs? It's Adverse Childhood Experiences. So as part of our first meeting in Embracing Parenthood program, we kind of go through a history and ask people about their family of origin and their adverse childhood experiences. And I think it's if you have over three, it's supposed to be critical. Now, don't hold me to this. It's been a minute since I've actually done this, and I'm not an expert. But if you have X number of adverse childhood experiences, there is actually scientific correlation, like that doctors have done studies, and it's even more than just biological. It's physiological, so like body and mind issues in adulthood and beyond. And then you repeat those cycles. So out of our clients, I would say 8 out of 10 who have come through Embracing Parenthood, our Embracing Parenthood program, I have just a tremendous amount of ACEs. So you have all this generational dysfunction. So if you're just like, oh, yay, well, you're pregnant, good luck with that, then, you know, we're not making any progress. And in addition to the Embracing Parenthood program and the support we provide, we do always encourage involvement with community organizations, with local churches, because we're definitely not the end-all be-all. But you guys would be so amazed. For those clients who do take part in what we do, just coming in, meeting with a mentor, going through curriculum, how their lives are changed and the trajectory of their children is changed. So it's not just eternal. It's not just right now. It's generational. Let me see what the next slide is. All right, so here's a couple pictures of some of our mentors for the Embracing Parenthood program. And that's for men, it's for women, it's for couples. So no matter what life situation, if you guys know anyone with kids under 5, doesn't even have to be kids in their custody, then they would be welcomed into our Embracing Parenthood program. The only criteria really is a child under 5. We work with a lot of OCS clients, which is another like kind of neat collaborative effort, is because I mean, OCS actually sends clients to us, and we're able to work with them. So you're part of that as well. All right, next slide, please. Okay, and we offer over 400 classes. The way that we're able to offer over 400 classes in such a broad curriculum is because we use DVDs. And now we even use an online platform that allows us to present more material. So we have mentors, a trained mentor, mom or dad. Maybe some of you are interested in that. You go through a Christian coaching program. It's like 30 hours. You go through an interview process. You're under supervision from our client services manager. But our mentor moms and dads are there as a support. So we pair, say we have a couple, which we have quite a few of those right now, who want to come through together. So they could either meet with a mentor mom or a mentor dad. They would come in and meet with that same person week after week. So they're building a relationship of encouragement and mentorship. And then they're using the curriculum to create a unique track for what that client needs. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's how we do our Embracing Parenthood program. Next slide, please. But we also have a market. And you guys, this congregation has been a huge part of this. In our market, we accept like new baby items. So as our clients come in and they take the time and they demonstrate the initiative to go through classes, they're also earning parent bucks. And so those parent bucks can be spent in our market. So like, for example, typical visit, if a client just does kind of basic stuff, they can get 30 parent bucks. But in the market, 30 parent bucks is like 10 outfits. They always get diapers. They get formulas. They can get formula. They can get maternity items, just all kinds of baby, like the little bouncy saucers are super popular, stroller. And if they go through our program from prenatal on and they attend 8 classes without any no-show, so they demonstrate some stick-to-itiveness, then I think it may be the next slide. If not, I apologize. Nope, not the next slide. Okay, never mind. Imagine with me, if you will. Then they can get a brand new car seat. They get a baby shower basket. I think you guys have been part of that. So we give them brand new items in a baby shower basket, and we just really celebrate them and make sure that they're completely set. So I can't think of anything I forgot. Anything unclear? Sometimes I get going and I forget what I said. No? Okay. All right. So HeartReach is also unique in the realm of ongoing support because we do provide after abortion support. And that's something that our clients can take part in. And I had a client just last spring went through with an abortion decision, and it's crazy. Again, like the curtain falls, and as soon as she did that, she's like, came back in. Oh my gosh, what did I do? Which I think is really neat because at least we loved her well enough that she came back, right? After choosing that decision, after having been given all the information, she still came back to us with a broken heart and said, you know, here's what I'm dealing with. And she's not actually ready to go through the after abortion support program yet, even though it's really confidential, and the lady who does it's even willing to do that online. I just think it's really neat that we do that. And look, abortion is a decision that quite a few of us have been part of. It's we all have areas in our life that we're not proud of. I'm going to share a little bit of our story in a minute. And statistically speaking, it's somewhere between 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 women have had at least one abortion. I mean, so as you know, are out shopping, even in a Christian congregation, so many of us have taken part in that type of decision. It's just a part of our story. It's not the unforgivable, unpardonable sin. And so, but yet it's one that we don't talk about a lot. And so I think it's really neat. And I'm glad to be able to share that HeartReach does offer this after abortion support, because I think it is something that's very, very needed. So if you know anyone in your life who could benefit from that, just tell them to give us a call. We keep information confidential. We are experts in that. Okay, next slide, please. All right, so how can you guys get involved? Well, you are involved because you're part of a church that's involved and that supports HeartReach, but there are many more hands-on ways. So next slide. One of the ways is you can donate like new or brand new goods. And I think this is the slide I was looking for earlier. If you see up there at the top, we've got a car seat and the couple in front of the HeartReach Center sign also has like a basket full of brand new items. So when you donate brand new items, they go in our baby shower baskets because we want to really love on our clients and say, these are brand new items. And we always share, you know, these items come from, you know, an extension of HeartReach that goes way out in the community and encompasses so many local churches and local believers. And all of these people are saying, we're here for you and we are in this with you in a small way. You know, and that means so much. It really, really does. Or like new. So the picture over here on this side is part of our intake area. And we have an awesome like volunteer team, so you can be part of that, who sorts through donations, make sure that everything is safety checked and like new so that we can then stock our market. So that's one way you can get involved. You can donate brand new or like new items. Or you can volunteer with us. You can volunteer in the market. You can do intake. You can also volunteer upstairs, check clients out as they come through and shop. You could be a mentor mom or dad, like we talked about. If any of you have that experience, you can come. Like, we've got a picture of Doug out there to do yard work. We've got a guy who volunteers the services and offers us snow plowing. That's an amazing gift. Or you can participate. And this is something that all of you guys can do in our 3 fundraisers. Our fundraisers are super fun. The baby bottle campaign is one that typically churches do together. So we would give everyone a baby bottle. You would all pray for HeartReach. You would put your change in the bottles and then bring them back. And we get about 25 to 30,000 out of that every year. That goes a long way. Really, really cool. You can do the 5K. 5K is coming up this year, June 19th. Super fun. It's at the Trunk Road Park and Ride. It's great for the whole family. We do time. It's a timed event, but it's also a fun event. So if you want a time, well, then you're going to start at the front. You're going to get a time, a professionally timed 5K. But if you just want to bike or hang out, we've got like games on the lawn and just make a really great day of it. And then in the fall every year, we do a fundraising dinner. A lot of organizations out here do that. And that's something if you wanted to do, you would host a table, you would invite your friends, and then everybody would be invited to financially partner. All right. What's my next slide? All right. So you can also go to friendsofheartreach.com, and you can get information on all of our different events and different ways you can partner. And you know what I don't have in this slideshow because I haven't updated it is we've got a mobile medical unit, and that's coming up. Right now we're raising money for that. So if you go to friendsofheartreach.com, you can learn more about that. That's like, if you guys seen the Save the Storks, it's like a big bus and or van, and you go out to different places, and you basically have a little mobile pregnancy center. So we could do pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and just some counseling in that bus. So our executive director was at a conference 2 years ago, and we were awarded. It's like she just put her name in a drawing. It's been a really neat progression. She put her name in a drawing and was granted like $30,000 for this mobile medical unit. And then it just continues and continues, and we were being awarded more, and they chose us because of the unique opportunity we have in the Matanuska Valley, because we could hit all the way up towards Sutton, Glacier View. You know, we could go up to Talkeetna and really reach some more remote locations who, you know, would find it hard to get all the way into Wasilla for a pregnancy test. And we are only like $30,000 away from all the money we need to raise. So that could very well happen. I mean, we got a $20,000 check. I'm like, you know, who has that much money? But somebody does, which is really awesome, last week. So it could happen. When we get the $30,000 in, all we do is we order the bus, we set up the garage, we get the staffing, and we are mobile. So you guys are part of that too. Always expanding, always growing. So what's my next slide? Another HeartReach slide. All right. Oh, and if any of you guys are social media people, we do have a Facebook, Friends of HeartReach. And so that's another way you can get involved and see what goes on. All right, next slide. Ah, here's us. Okay. So Pastor Steph asked me to share a little bit about our story. And we all have stories, right? And I think it's so interesting because you might meet me and Jeff, or meet our entire family. And I've had people say this, oh, you're such an incredible family. You have such a beautiful family. And that's true. And yet there's a story there. We always have a story. There's more than one story. But I met Jeff after high school. He was in his sophomore year, and I was in my freshman year at Georgia Southern University. And so I had been brought up in the church, and I made a decision, but I was also very confused. And I had a lot of anger, just kind of trying to figure out where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. And in college specifically, suddenly faced with lots of opportunities. And I came from a very strict family, so there weren't a lot of choices, even though I was absolutely rebellious. And so I got pregnant about 10 months after meeting Jeff, and he was playing football. And of course, I'm only in my freshman year. I've come from a family, Christian, but a lot of times, even in Christian families, we have really high expectations. Like, you'd be surprised to know that quite a few, especially teenagers or young collegiate students who are from Christian families, are more prone to abortion decisions because they don't want to let down their family. Like, my parents were not okay. I mean, like, there were expectations. They were not okay with failure. You know, I was sent to college to do something. And in fact, I couldn't even tell him I was pregnant. So we really considered abortion. In fact, we had some friends who had already gone through with that decision. And for some reason, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't. And I have no judgment for anyone who has done that. I think God uses all of our stories, no matter what decisions we've made. But for me specifically, I just couldn't do it. I felt like I kind of almost saw this crossroads in front of me. When I think about it, kind of like in Deuteronomy, where it's like, choose, you know, I set this before you, choose life that you and your family may live. And it was kind of like a crossroads. And so I told Jeff, I said, I can't do this. There's no way. I can't do this. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I can't do this. And to his credit, he absolutely respected that. And men play such a pivotal role. And then he was supportive in a pregnancy decision. And that's why we take such great efforts at HeartReach to include a man anytime we can into a decision process. So Jeff was extremely supportive. Couldn't really decide what I was going to do. We went home because it was summer break. So that was in May. Went home and just actually first I did some research. I am a researcher to my core, almost to a fault. So back in those days, young people have to kind of to try to track with me. We didn't have smartphones. So I had to go to the library. So I literally went to the library at Georgia Southern University and started trying to understand like pregnancy and oh my gosh, like how far along am I and all this. Well, I learned that 1 in 4 first pregnancies end in miscarriage. So I'm like, okay, I've got a 1 in 4 chance. I'm not going to have to tell my parents. This is not going to happen. I mean, this is just where my brain was. So I'm like, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to cross my fingers. And I'm going to hope I have a miscarriage and nobody's going to ever have to know. So I go home. Jeff, I think, stayed at Georgia Southern, was still supportive. You know, like he's a responsible person. He was going to make things right. I went home just hoping everything would go away, not going to tell my religious parents because they were going to be so devastated and so disappointed in me. Well, we got through midsummer, so I was past what I had researched was like the time where a miscarriage was likely. So I'm like, man, we're going to have to tell him. Jeff had asked me to marry him. I was never going to get married. I was never going to have kids. I'm a very independent, like adventurous person, which is kind of funny. But actually, over the summers, I was just soul searching and I was praying. I think when we pray, when we seek spiritual direction and guidance, it's given to us. And I remember just praying and going, I ruined my entire life because I had made a lot of bad decisions. And it, you know, again, you're in crisis. I've ruined my entire life. I can't go on. This is the end of everything. So like, I can't, you know, I can't do this, but it also can be a wonderful breaking point, right? Because when we realize we can't do it and we have that humble attitude, okay, help me. A lot of times that's the beginning of a new start. So, I felt really, really directed to marry Jeff. And so we decided we were going to get married and he came up to tell my parents. And my dad is a full bird colonel in the Marine Corps. He's a tough dude. Like people don't mess with him. He's scary. He's still scary. He's 71 and still scary. And so Jeff was going to, I was like, I can't tell him. I can't tell him what's wrong. And so it took us a while to finally tell my parents. I don't know. I wish you had a microphone. You could tell a little bit of that story. Really, really tough. Literally, my mom didn't talk to me from the time we told her until I gave birth to our first son. And I don't think she did it. She didn't do it to be mean. She just couldn't talk to me. Like, she was just that upset. So we got married. We had our first son. We had all kinds of junk going on, which is another reason why I'm so passionate about what we do with Embracing Parenthood program, because it would have been so critical for me or us to just have someone to go talk to every week, for me to learn about prenatal development, for us to go through childbirth classes with someone who was going to care for us and love us and offer us hope and encouragement. We didn't have that, so I gave birth to Trace. We were in a really volatile place. And then our story gets a little dicey again because you could have written stupid across my forehead, but Trace, our oldest son, so Trace is on that side over there, very end. That one's Trace. You may notice they all look pretty close in age. So Trace is 2 months old, and I started to feel nauseated again. I was like, something is really wrong. I waited and I waited. We actually went to his sister's graduation and I was feeling like I was going to vomit and I'm trying to take care of Trace. So I took a pregnancy test because I'm also nursing. And so moms, you kind of know how all of that's interrelated and you don't really know what's going on with your body. And sure enough, I'm pregnant. So even though the first pregnancy was a crisis, the second pregnancy was heartbreaking. And if you look at abortion statistics, most women who have abortions have already had at least one child. They would never take back the child they have. Oh my goodness, we're all crazy about that child. But what the mind game there is, I can't take care of this child if I have this child. Oh my gosh, what will I do? The loving thing to do for this child I've already given birth to is to terminate the life of this child because I couldn't possibly take care of both of them. I couldn't possibly love both of them. It's really deceptive. I didn't consider abortion with our second one. By that point in time, I had taken that new beginning. I was growing. I was becoming more and more healthy, but I was devastated. And we obviously didn't have insurance. Jeff was going to school full time. I was just getting back into school again to finish my college degree. And a lady from the church that we went to said, "Hey, well, there's a pregnancy center down the road." So this is in Jacksonville, Florida now, part of that national organization. She said, "There's a pregnancy center down the road. You can go get a free test. And that way you can get verification and you can get insurance services." So I had been on government assistance, you know, with our first son. We didn't have insurance. We were in a terrible place. And I come from a family where there's expectations. You're not on government assistance. And I'm going to these places. And this is also a beautiful thing. I got to see for the first time how you're treated like a number when you don't have money, when you don't have insurance. So I'd always come from a place where we had insurance coverage. My dad was in the Marine Corps. You know, we had insurance. We would go to the doctor when we needed to go to the doctor. But going in with Medicaid, I didn't care if I sat there for 3 hours sometimes. I would go to my appointments to try to prove to them, you know, like we're trying to do the best we can do, and they don't care. They didn't care if I sat there for 3 hours. They didn't care if they helped me get medical services. It was just a real eye-opener. All this to say, so I had been really treated like a number. I was experiencing what that was like. And I went to this pregnancy center with my little 2.5-month-old baby, and I'm like, I already know I'm pregnant. I just need a verification. And honestly, I was feeling pretty ashamed. And they welcomed me in there. They did my pregnancy test. They loved on me. They didn't have any ongoing services to offer. It was just intervention, but they did my pregnancy test. And they loved on me so well. And it encouraged me and said, "You can do this. And God's got a plan for your life. And God's got a plan for your children's life. And this is not the end. This is something you can be excited about. You can be proud." They showed me the steps I had already taken. Like, you can be proud of where you are. And their kindness broke my heart. I left that little center in Jacksonville, Florida that day with my 2.5-month-old baby and just bawled in the car and just cried and I cried and I cried. Because they treated me like I was a person, like I had value. And people do have value. And I remember praying and I said, "God, if you could ever get me out of this situation, I want to one day be to someone else with those ladies were to me just then." And it's so neat because he did allow me to do that. And so 2 years later, Jeff finished college. We moved to the Atlanta area. He got on with the law enforcement office and we tried to get pregnant with our son, Jaden. And that was a beautiful thing. And his name, Jaden, actually means God has heard. And so Trace on this end and then the one getting married in the middle are 11 months apart, 11 months and 3 weeks. So they used to get really upset when they would go to school because they would try to tell their teachers they were the same age. Like they were both just 22, like 2 weeks ago, because it's between February 2nd and February 9th. So they're 11 months and 3 weeks apart. And we didn't know how we were going to do it. But there's always, always a way. And then Jaden is the baby. So Trace is actually married now, and he is working at Wasilla Chevrolet. If you guys ever need a car, he's just down the street, which is such a God gift to me and to Jeff to have him close again because he had been in Georgia. Byron is married and about to finish his senior year. He's studying engineering. And then Jaden is in Utah in school and wants to be a helicopter pilot. So when you're part of HeartReach, we don't know how many. And the people at the Sunbeam Road Pregnancy Center in Jacksonville, Florida have no idea, right? They sowed a seed. But that's what we do every day as we interact with people. We sow seeds, and we don't know where that leads, but they're part of this, right? And that's what all of us are part of in our daily lives, in this church congregation, and then also at HeartReach. We're part of people's stories, and that's beautiful. So thank you for being part of that. Appreciate you guys, and we all have our stories.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.